This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Electric vehicles that a Biden administration is looking at to achieve net zero carbon emissions still faces the need for coal or natural gas generated electricity, but the ethanol industry may have a different solution. Corn ethanol to electricity may be the ticket, according to Renewable Fuels Association Chief Jeff Cooper.
Ethanol is a great low carbon molecule, and you can make electricity out of it just fine. And it is something that our industry is looking into as a future kind of new use for our product.
And some big industry names are already taking the idea seriously.
General Electric is interested in looking at using ethanol instead of diesel in its peak shaving generators. And so there is a role there that, ethanol to electrons is not that far-fetched of an idea.
But for now, Cooper argues there's not enough cobalt, lithium, and recharging stations to make pending legislative goals of cutting in half gas-powered car sales by 2025 a reality. As for even more profound Biden administration goals, he has this to say.
If net zero emissions is the goal by 2050, and deep reductions in the carbon emissions from transportation is what we're after, we should be using more biofuels in the near term. Ethanol is already playing an important role in reducing greenhouse gas emissions from the transportation sector, and if you add more ethanol to the blend, whether it's E15 or E85, you're going to get greater greenhouse gas reductions.
Cooper also says ethanol is already reducing greenhouse gas emissions from the transportation sector. He argues now that adding more ethanol to the blend, whether it's E15 or E85, that will yield greater greenhouse gas reductions in the future. In other new presidential administration news, farmers might be bracing for more scrutiny under a Biden administration, maybe some of the main reasons that a lot of rural farm country voted for Trump in the last election. Bloomberg says that American agriculture is likely bracing for more scrutiny of its practices under the Joe Biden administration. While the race isn't officially over yet, agriculture would potentially see more regulations on everything from environmental protection to workplace safety. That's a stark contrast from the anti-regulatory administration under Donald Trump. The key question will be how much pressure will ag face as Democrats are divided on how hard they might move forward on a more progressive agenda. One thing is for sure is there will be a greater emphasis on food assistance for needy families under Biden. The first suggestion of where a new administration would fall on the regulatory spectrum is who they appoint to different positions. Both farmers and environmentalists will be looking closely for details on how Biden would carry out a campaign pledge to make American agriculture the first in the world to reach net zero with emissions. Even as the Trump administration refuses to concede the race, the Biden team is moving ahead on cabinet choices, with the picks likely to come in the middle of December. Former Ag Secretary Tom Vilsack has been advising the Biden campaign on rural issues. And stay tuned. State and local ag news is yours next.
When you think about planning for tomorrow, it may seem overwhelming. At Country Financial, we have a suggestion. Don't get overwhelmed. Get started. Because when it comes to solving the big challenges of tomorrow, you can start with simple steps today. With personalized insurance and financial services that can have a big impact on your family's future. Country Financial, when you're ready to start, we're ready to help. Call me, Wayne Schaefer, at 498-5800.
Shop.areadieselservice.com is the easiest way to find the parts you need for your diesel. Since 1973, Area Diesel Service Incorporated has been committed to providing quality parts and services for turbochargers, diesel fuel injection systems, and diesel engines. Located in Carlinville at 1300 North University, they are always just a phone call away at 854-2641 and always online at shop.areadieselservice.com.
Let's Talk isn't just an invitation. It's how M&M Service Company does business. Their experts believe a meaningful conversation is the best way to help their customers reach their financial goals. M&M will show you how to use FS AgriFinance as a risk management tool to help spread your costs and manage your cash flow. They know agriculture and are focused on what's ahead to make sure you're ready for it. Talk with your FS AgriFinance specialist at M&M Service Company today.
Enjoy light and healthy eating during the holidays with farmer-owned Prairie Farms dairy products. Prairie Farms non-fat cottage cheese topped with fresh fruit makes a quick light lunch or snack. Prairie Farms milk is a delicious source of vitamin D and calcium. And for a refreshing pick-me-up, drink 100% pure Prairie Farms orange juice loaded with vitamin C. It's good and good for you. Taste the homemade goodness of Prairie Farms. Farmer-owned.
Now we'll move on to State of Illinois Ag News for your Tuesday, and we have the latest state crop progress and condition report. According to the report, there were 5.1 days suitable for field work during the week ending on Sunday, November 15th. Statewide, the average temperature was at 48.3 degrees. That's 6.3 degrees above normal. Precipitation averaged 1 1/10 inches. That's 3,200 inches above normal. Topsoil moisture supply was higher, rated at 10% very short, 21% short, 66% adequate, and 3% surplus. Moisture supply of the subsoil was at 13% very short, 28% short, 58% adequate, and 1% surplus. Wheat emerged was at 92% as of Sunday compared to the 5-year average of 85%. Winter wheat condition is rated at 5% very poor, 5% poor, 24% fair, 51% good, and 15% excellent. And as of Sunday, both corn and soybeans are considered 100% harvested across the state, with the average corn yield in Illinois at 195 bushels to the acre, and the average soybean yield at 58 bushels to the acre. And with harvest all but wrapped up, the early harvest season may have helped farmers jumpstart their fall fertilizer program. And even though through that recent warm-up last week that included a record string of 70-plus degree days in some parts of Illinois that temporarily curbed activity, fertilizer application is remaining on pace to meet demand. Those challenges have ranged from recent temperature fluctuations, as I said, and issues with a pipeline that feeds the upper Midwest anhydrous ammonia to the closure of the Illinois River over the summer. Anhydrous ammonia supply remain adequate here in Illinois despite some concerns in Iowa and Minnesota due to a pipeline issue, while potash supply is tightened to a 20% spike in demand compared to last year. Fertilizer demand has also increased this fall due to the apparent increase in planting of winter wheat in southern Illinois. Fertilizer prices around the state averaged $443 a ton for anhydrous ammonia, $352 for urea per ton, $211 a ton for liquid nitrogen, 28%, and $335 a ton for potash. That's up $8.33, according to the November 5th Illinois Production Cost Report. But there's a wide range in potash price, though, from $284 a ton to $430 a ton, depending on location. As for the Illinois River closure, years of preparation neutralized the impact on the fertilizer industry. The waterway reopened back to navigation on October 29th after a 4-month project that upgraded 5 locks and dams, with future upgrades to Illinois River locks and dams coming in the next few years. In other ag news, state and locally, as harvest has came to a close, one Central Illinois commodity broker says that new leadership in the White House could be a breath of fresh air when it comes to commodity prices in the future. With Bates Commodities in Normal, Illinois, Kurt Kimmel said that Democratic President-elect Joe Biden could pass another stimulus bill to help farmers with the help of a Democratic-controlled House of Representatives.
Well, traditionally, what we see oftentimes, once the election is over, we see the market move lower on the ideas that, you know, the vote's been made and cast, and we're in a situation where we bought the vote for the most part. But in this case, the market has hung in there quite well from the standpoint that if the Democratic side can make some headway here, there could be some additional stimulus money in the workings. And two, probably it moves the market into a situation where the uncertainty on the trade deal, the phase one trade deal with China, they're in a position where they're going to continue to buy ag products over time. And there's a little concern there for a while that they might try to renegotiate that. But the Biden campaign kind of hinted that they're going to stick to the ground rules there on that trade deal, and we'll have to monitor that as we move forward. But the key is new leadership, maybe some new policies. So there's a little bit of uncertainty, but the uncertainty so far has been price positive, and that's well needed here compared to where we were price-wise anywhere full from a month to a month and a half ago.
On Tuesday of last week, ag commodities rallied after the USDA projected a lower 2021 carryover for wheat, corn, and beans, with soybeans seeing their highest level since early July. And that'll conclude your Ag News here for a Tuesday afternoon. But remember, you can always send us your Ag News by email at WSMI at WSMIRadio.com. So again, for this Tuesday afternoon, November 17th, this has been Gabe Osborne reporting WSMI Ag News.